Hi, this is Danny Bryant, and you're listening to The Raven and the Blues Show on REM FM. Lying here waiting for you, babe, middle of the night. My heart is aching, and it don't seem right. Lying here waiting for you, babe, in this cold and lonely night. You don't love me, it's plain to see. It's clear to me, it's black and white. I'll bring it all home to you and your evil ways. Oh, baby, why won't you treat me right? You don't love me, it's plain to see. It's clear to me, it's black and white. Black and white. Station waiting for that train. Gonna let you take that train, take yourself another man. Oh, baby, your love cuts me like a knife. You don't love me, it's plain to see. It's clear to me, black and white. You don't love me, it's plain to see. It's clear to me, it's black and white.
Title track of the album and a track we played a couple of weeks ago on The Raven and the Blues, and this is The Raven and the Blues on REM FM, and it's good to have our special guest this week, Danny Bryant. Danny, you're going acoustic for us, which I know is a rare thing, isn't it?
Yep, yeah. It's been an experiment.
Are you happy being acoustic, or would you rather be plugged in behind a cabinet?
I'd rather be plugged in, but I'm enjoying doing this, but yeah, we'll see what comes out.
You're a blues man for what, 12 years now or thereabouts?
Let me think, yeah.
And what made you move into the blues rather than any other kind of music?
Well, when I got a guitar, it was kind of, you know, it was mum and dad's record collection, really.
Your dad's a blues man, then, is he, really? Yeah, right. Okay.
A lot of people don't like their parents' music, but I always did. So it just went from there, you know, and I always found it was the most exciting kind of music to play on a guitar, you know.
And it had to be a guitar as well, did it?
Well, yeah, because initially I just wanted to play guitar. It wasn't necessarily that, you know, I found the blues after I got the guitar.
Right.
It wasn't the other way around. But
what were the opening things you did then?
What did I play?
Yeah.
Probably just like a... But it would be different. It would be like, you know.
And then at some stage, presumably, you decide that actually this could be a career as well.
Yeah. Well, I got it when I was 15. So I became kind of obsessed with it, you know, straight away. And then I left school at 16 after my GCSEs, and I was due to go back and do some course at school, like sixth form, but I didn't really fancy it. So I started working in like a local shop and just practicing every hour I had. And then when I was 18, we started the band and we started doing pubs, and it got to the point where we were doing four or five a week, and I didn't need to do the job, so I gave the job up.
A joyous thing, though, isn't it?
It was lovely, yes. Yeah.
And has that been the same ever since then, really?
Yeah, I've been lucky, really. You know, it's been a lot of travelling, a lot of hard work, but...
Some miles.
You're lucky to do what you love doing, you know, for a living.
Band is a tight unit, isn't it, really? Just the three of you.
Yep.
And Ken on bass, really,
yes.
And
yeah.
Keeping an eye on you as well, isn't
he? Yeah, we've had a few different drummers, but we've got Trevor now, who's good. And the main thing with drummers is, you know, because we tour so much, it's whether you can get on with them and they're reliable, and he's all of that, so...
It's also the fact that their bit takes so much longer to set up and everything,
and it does,
bigger to carry. Yeah. And, yeah. So whereas you can just put the guitar into a case and walk out.
I know. I don't know how these kids learn drums, you know, because with a guitar you can just sit at home. And I used to practice with an electric guitar, but I didn't plug it into the amp, so I could go late at night. It would only be sort of that loud, you know.
I was at a blues festival in Spain a couple of weeks ago, and on the pre-jam session on the night before, everybody was there, all waiting, all ready to have a jam, but no drummer turned up. And so in the end, a drummer was summoned from a nearby village. But it's amazing, you do have to have one,
Oh, you do need one. Well, you don't with this sort of stuff. I could make myself some money, maybe, or save myself. So.
The thing is that this is far more a sitting. I mean, if the two types of blues, basically, the sessions we do here tend to be sitting down back porch type of blues.
Yeah.
And that's not your style at all, though, is it?
No, really? Not really. Well, it's something I love to do at home, you know. When you've been on tour a long time, I can't leave the guitar or the music alone. But I sometimes think it's healthy to, you know, not be at home doing what I've been playing every night on tour. So I listen to a lot of acoustic blues.
Mm.
And I play it at home. I have
what, current or heritage stuff?
All of it, really. But mainly, I love all these old DVDs you can get, you know.
Yes.
Sun House. And
like showing the guys working, you mean. Yes.
Yeah. And, but I love, at the moment, I'm really into kind of that style, like D Model Ford. Type thing,
yes.
You know, all that Duke joint from the Fat Possum label, all that sort of thing. That started because I did a festival in Holland, and T-Model Ford was on the next night, but when I walked into the backstage bar, he was sitting there playing his guitar, and I ended up jamming with him, and we all spent the night together, and that became a big influence.
I mean, that happens at some festivals. There's a chance to actually mix with everybody and hang out and learn to play and things. Yeah,
yeah, that's the greatest thing. We just came back from Italy last week or the week before with James Cotton.
Right.
And because everyone was over just for one show, they flew both bands there the night before, so we all went out for dinner two nights in a row and things, and it was great, you know.
You've got another good one. I was going to come to it later in our conversation, but as we're talking about festivals, you've got a great one coming up in about 10 days' time, isn't it? You're in Holland again?
Yeah. I've got two in Italy and then Holland, with Buddy Guy Bosspop.
That's right, yes. Yeah. And Little Feet as well.
Little Feet and Santana.
Yeah.
And who else is on there?
That's going to be quite some backstage jam session, isn't it, really?
I'd love a jam session. I don't think that will happen, but that'll be good. It'll be good to meet some of those people. I've met Buddy Guy before, but I'd like to meet Santana.
Yes, that'll be kind of good, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Over the decade, a few albums along the way as well. Mostly your own material, is that right, roughly?
Yeah. I think the only album that's had covers was covering their tracks.
Mm, yes.
That was like half in half.
And so for you, writing is not something which is a huge task, then, is it? The words come easy, do they?
They do. In certain times, with me, I kind of have to have a sort of, I have to know the studio's booked and like have a deadline of 2 months to write. And otherwise, I try and polish it too much and I'll spend a month on a song and then realise it's rubbish and chuck it. So it's usually better. And then when I get in the studio, I ended up changing everything anyway. But I'm kind of getting used to how I do that now. But sometimes it's the best songs are easy. The ones that the best songs they come easily. You get other songs that you have to work trying to build it.
And is it a solo thing, or does the work come sometimes when you're actually with the rest of the guys of the band?
It does. Well, I always write the songs beforehand, but they change a lot when I get them with the band. You know.
Do they have a say in it too? I mean, are you the band leader or are you a member of the band?
I am the band leader, You know, we do discuss it, and I listen to everyone's point of view.
Yeah.
Then I make up my own one. No. We do discuss it, and things do change a lot. Certain things, you can write a song at home, and you're sitting there going blah blah blah, blah. And And then when you get to do it, you realise it's not the right key for your voice or something like that. So then you kind of transpose the chords, but then the chords don't sound right. And it can be a bloody nightmare sometimes like that. But
we opened up with the title track of the new album, Black and White. Where are we going to go now musically?
I don't know. Let me try doing like a slow blues in an electric style with an acoustic guitar. You'll find out I wasn't wrong. One of these days, you'll find out I wasn't wrong. One of these days, baby, when I'm dead and gone, I used to look all around, but baby, you couldn't be found. I used to look all around, but baby, you couldn't be found. I found you with another man, and baby, I put you down.
These days, Danny Bryant and the REM Raven and Blues sessions. We've talked about the albums, and we've also covered some of the concerts and things. Your break into Europe has been a gradual thing over 4 or 5 years, or
yeah. Really, we started off just playing England, and then we moved. I think the first place we moved to was Holland. Although the first gig we did in Europe was a festival in Belgium maybe 6 years ago or something now, 7 years ago. But then Holland, and then... but that really kicked off when we signed with Rounder in Europe.
Yes.
Because the European part of Rounder is based in Holland, and that led to the festivals and things. And the main thing for exposure is the festivals. Mm. Really, Holland and Italy is probably our best countries.
And was it easy to get that break in the first place? I mean, getting the signing with Rounder as well. I mean, these things are something you aspire to, and it seems to have come very early in your career, so to speak.
It does to people on paper, but I mean, it's almost 10 years of working, a couple of thousand shows. And it was lucky how it happened with Rounder, really, because I'd wanted to be signed with them. I mean, with Europe, you've only got a few really decent blues labels, there's a core that everybody goes to, because a blues act that aren't really going to get signed to a major label.
There's not enough money for them,
and it just doesn't work like that. So basically there was a few, where the Rounder was the one I wanted, And we couldn't get them to commit to anything, and it ended up that it wasn't going to happen. And I was on tour in Holland, and I played a show on a Thursday night, and they said, tomorrow night's show, Jim Shuler, who plays with George Thorogood, is cancelled. You know, they just announced it to the audience while we were playing. So the promoter came up to me and said, there's this festival in Holland, and Jim Shuler's meant to be doing it on Saturday. Why don't you get... Where are you playing Saturday night? I said, about an hour from there. He said, why don't you get your agent to see if he can get you his slot in the afternoon? Mm. And they were only too happy to have someone fill it.
Yeah.
So I filled it. Well, he was signed to Rounder. Rounder didn't know he'd cancelled, so they were there. And they signed me. So it all led from that, really.
That's amazing, yes.
And there was a promoter there who... runs Moulin Blues Festival in Ospel, and that was a big festival, so he booked me for that, and that led to a load of clubs that saw us there, and then when we played that club they saw me for Boss Pop, so it just luck, but a lot of gigs as
so
well.
The guy from Rounders in the audience expecting to see one of his acts, and I didn't know we'd signed him.
Yeah. I was relaxed because I didn't even know he was there. Just got an email when I got back, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, my agent told me, he said the guy from Rounder was there, and I said, well, I think that's a no anyway. But after they saw the show, they said, well, what are your plans? I said, well, I'm doing a live album next. It's already all booked. So they said, well, if we like it, we'll sign you. So I made it and mixed it as quickly as possible, sent it to them, and they...
And they did.
They did, yeah.
And have they given you a kind of hands-off type thing, or do they get are they proactive in terms of the content and the direction and that sort of thing?
Well, it's just right for me. I mean, beforehand... It was kind of all down to how we do it. Now they've got advice, but I mean they've been doing it for years, and they've had lots of great acts, and so I listen to it. So they do have advice, but it's not like being on a major label, you know. It's free. I basically make the album. They recommended the studio where we did this album, mm-hmm. and I hooked up with them, and I liked it. So they kind of had a say in that, but then they left me to make the album, and then I sent it to them. And there was an agreement if they didn't like something, that maybe we'd change it, but they liked it.
So, and in terms of order, track order, all that sort of thing, that's all down to you, is it? Just about.
Yeah, it is. But they could change it if they wanted.
Right, yes, but they tend not to. Yeah.
They tend not to. That's the first studio album I've done with them,
right.
This one. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Time will tell, yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And in terms, again, in terms of production in the studio, again, that was completely hands-off as far as they were concerned, was it?
Yeah, yeah. They pretty much left us to it, you know.
It's kind of rare these days, isn't it, really?
It is, but with blues labels, I think that they assess each situation as it is. You know, if it had been our first album, but I was five albums in, so I think, think they told me what they didn't want. I mean, and the thing with labels is that they kind of contradict themselves. He said to me, well, we need a song that will get you maybe a bit more mainstream or classic rock the magazine will pick up on, mm-hmm. which they have, which we've been lucky, because they put that track on their sampler CD and it's led to some features and things. But he said, but don't try too hard to write one, because you might mess up the album. So you're thinking, you know, do they want one or not?
That's right, yes, yes.
So, you know.
Trying to cover all the bases, just hoping for that song, which actually when you hear it in the mix, you go, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah,
yes, yes.
Yeah.
But you, I mean, you can't write like that. I mean, presumably you don't, do you?
You can't, no. They just, you've got to come up with whatever you can. Mm. I mean, the only case of that is you look at an album, you have, say you want to have 10 songs on an album, you go in with 12, and then whoever you're working with says, well, they're the weakest songs or something, so you scrap those. You might do 10 songs for this album. We had 10 songs, but we had sort of one too many ballads, so we realised we needed a fast thing. Mm. So, I kind of changed a ballad that I had that was like that to something that was like same song, yes, just change it around, mm-hmm. and you know. So you have to do that a little bit.
I think often the when you realise you've got all the tracks laid down, you've got a bit of studio time left, something which comes together as sort of a free-form unit often works really well on those things.
And yeah.
The number of guys who say, oh, that wasn't planned, that one, that came together in the studio at the end
sometimes
of the recording.
Sometimes they're the best.
Is there a direction which you think I'm heading this way, or is each day and the sort of the music you write and the things you do, is as it comes, really?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these younger blues guys, they kind of get fed up with playing the blues, don't they, and then they change, but it's limitless, you know, it has no limits for me in terms of its interest. So I can't see me changing direction. No. But you're always influenced by albums. I had a big influence of Robin Trower on this album in terms of the guitar, which took me in a
Robin Trower, different... recently Robin Trower, you mean?
Recently Robin Trower, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We opened a show for him a couple of years ago, and it really, I thought it was really great. And you find different ways of kind of staying interested by finding different players, you know. And I love a lot of songwriters as well, you know, people like Bruce Springsteen and Tom Waits and things and Bob Dylan. So I listen to a lot of that, because sometimes when you're playing endless guitar all night, you don't hear it when you get back, you know.
What about other things, other styles of blues, like harmonica-based blues or piano-based blues? Yeah. Does that get to you at all?
Well, you know, I've got loads. I keep buying harmonicas.
Right.
Putting them at home, and I keep telling myself I'm going to learn, but I just can't do it. But, you know, especially after seeing James Cotton and,
yes,
you think, and Sugar Blue and people like that, and you know, I know him a little bit, and it kind of, you know, I think, what's the point? But I'd love to. But the thing with a harp, you know, you can't really see what someone's doing. Can
that's
you
right.
With a guitar, you can
admire it from a distance. That's
where
right.
The fingers
yes.
are going.
Well, yeah, a guitar's much more of a show instrument. Although I was with Wes Weston in Spain, and he's been able to make a bit of a stage act out of
Oh yeah,
a
they
playing.
Can put on great shows. Yeah. But you know, like the technique where you cover up the harp to get the vibrato and things like that. It's really hard to sort of see what someone's doing because it's a closed.
There's a harp player in Holland called Tilburg Slim, and he's a good one too, but he saw Carlos Del Junco work in Den Haag about 2 years ago and said, that's it, I'm giving up. We persuaded him that he shouldn't, you know, but I mean, when you see a master at his work, you know, it can be difficult.
I get that with guitar. You see someone and it has two effects on you. You see someone playing great, and the first thing is you think, oh God, you know, but the second thing is you think it makes you want to try even harder. Because it'd be great to get to that level. You know, if I see Buddy Guy or something, I think, you know, you're getting some good gigs and your album's selling well and you're thinking, God, you know, I'm it and it's going great. And then you see Buddy Guy and you think...
Yeah, but he's a fair bit older than you, don't
you? Yeah, I know. But then it makes me just want to try harder, you know.
I mean, but your reputation as a guitarist is not as a laggard at all. I mean, you're gaining a reputation as a guitarist too. You're probably getting people coming to your gigs, watching you for your guitar work as much as anything else.
That's always been the main thing that people come for, you know. So you have to give them a lot of it, and that, you know, that's essentially my main love is playing the guitar. Mm. But I enjoy singing as well, and I enjoy the whole leading the band thing. But yeah, we do get a lot of people that are in guitar, you know, coming to see us.
Let's have some more music. What we're gonna have next?
Let me try this. I don't know if I can sing this with an acoustic, but I'll try it. I was drifting, I was searching, I was looking for a friend. I was down, been so broken, nothing and so many things. She was fading, I was praying, there was nothing I could do. When the night came fall, I knew our time was through. Broke down, messed up, hurt and confused. I can't run, I can't hide. Don't wanna live, I don't wanna die. I've given all I can give. This is the last goodbye. I needed time, I needed faith, and a reason to believe. When you left me, I was desperate, hurt so bad I couldn't breathe. Now ghosts come calling when the day grows old. You're like an angel on my chest. You surround my soul. I can't run, I can't hide. Don't wanna live, I don't wanna die. I've given all I can give. This is the last. This is the last goodbye. This is the last. This is the last. This is the last. This is the last goodbye.
It's The Raven and the Blues on REM FM and also as a podcast on an MP3 player of your choice. We're with Danny Bryant, who's in session with us this week. Agents, managers, promoters, they all love to pigeonhole you. You kind of straddle both genres of both rock and blues, don't you? And do you find that you're in more rock venues than blues venues? Or
No. I'm really... Well, in England, it's all blues venues,
right?
Really. Mm-hmm. In Europe, it's more concert halls, so people come to see that specific band, you know. And in Europe, a lot of the festivals, as you know, are kind of, they'll have lots of different types of music, so it won't just be blues, which is a great way for a blues artist to reach a bigger audience. Like we were saying, that festival in Holland, it's got like Mick Hucknall and things like that.
Yeah, that's right. So Mick Hucknall doing a tribute to...
Bobby Blue Blood.
That's right, yes.
So it's a good way of reaching different audiences. You know.
That's going to be good to listen to as well, I would guess, because he's a great, great soul singer from the 60s, and Mick's got a great voice.
It'll be great, you know.
Whereabouts are you on the day? Do you know timings yet?
I'm 2 before Buddy Guy.
Oh, right.
So I think Mick Taylor's on after us, and then it's Buddy Guy.
That's going to be a heavy rocking stage, isn't it?
Yeah. It'll be good, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Lots of different stages or one big stage?
They have 2 stages. Yeah. They have... one which has the blues, but it's not strictly blues because Little Feet are doing it and things like that. But and then they have the other, but they don't play at the same time.
Right. Oh, that's nice. So you're not torn, you haven't got to make a decision.
And then I suppose, you know, while one stage is going, they sort the other one out. Yeah. Things like that.
That's rather good, yeah.
So, you know.
And nice relaxed atmosphere as well.
I don't know.
Oh, I see. You were talking as if you'd done it before, you see.
Sorry, I haven't. No, I've done a lot over there, but I haven't done that. But that's what I've been told, how it works. And a lot of people have told me they go every year, and it's great. I think you'll be relaxed, you know.
Yeah.
We've got a few to do before that. We're off to Italy next week, and that'll be good.
Do you ever get tired of the suitcase and the car and the plane?
I never get tired of the plane, but I never see that as a job, but sometimes the travelling I do. I don't like flying very much, and I've got to do about 6 flights this month.
So. Yes. There was a quote from one of the guests here in the studio, quite recently actually, which was actually, we do the playing bit for free. The money you pay us is the money for the travelling and the hassle and everything else.
Totally.
And so it obviously as your venues get bigger, the gear gets bigger and all of the paraphernalia gets bigger too.
And you get to see a lot of nice places, and you know, I love it more than anything. I think people make the mistake, they think when you go to these places you always see them. Sometimes you don't, you're only there for a couple of hours. But we always try and do an honest show and enjoy it, and I think that's all you can do. Yeah.
But are you getting too big to be able to go and do the meet and greet afterwards? I mean, or do you sort of show and go, if you know what I mean?
No, just come out and say hello to people. In England, you know, we only do small clubs. In sometimes the bigger festivals, it can take a long time, but it's good fun, you know.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's far bigger names than me come out and...
Yeah, but some tend not to. That's the thing.
Yeah. A lot tend not to. But I think it's a shame, you know. Because
it is,
I think the beautiful thing about blues music is it's kind of, you know, no matter how big these artists get, it kind of is almost like a family atmosphere. I think, you know.
And also, way that the whole music business is going now, it's got to the stage where playing live is the main way you make your money in many respects, and then the occasional bit of selling CDs on the side kind
of
thing.
Yeah. What was I reading? Who said it? It was Mick Jagger. He said, nowadays you make a CD to promote the tour.
Yes.
Whereas they used to make a tour to promote the CD, which is very true, but I couldn't believe it was true on that level. You know, it's very true for a smaller artist like me, you know. But on a massive level like that. But it's in playing live. I make CDs so that people can buy something to take home to, and on the hope that next time they come back they know the songs.
Yes.
You know, I live for playing live, really.
And I think the important thing is that if the CD gets passed on and moved on to other people, the important thing is that those people will eventually come and see you working.
It's a promotional tool.
I've seen Danny, yes, I like his music. Yeah, I'll go and see him.
Yeah, it's a promotional tool. And you know, and things like this, that's what keeps the music going, you know.
Do you ever get the stage where you think, oh, bugger, I can't be bothered?
With what? With
just, you know, getting up and going out and having to do it kind of thing?
No, not really. Not really. I get tired sometimes. Mm. You know, about 4 hours sleep or something. But not really. It's all worth it when you play.
Yes.
You know.
And in terms of the rest of the band, I mean, Ken is with you and I mean, so you just travel it all in the same vehicle, do you?
Yeah. 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 Mm. We have a bus and, we all travel together. And we take that everywhere pretty much to a point in Europe. And then when it gets to places like Italy,
we
fly, and yes, then the agents drive us.
Mm-hmm. Much more, yes, because it's a bit too far otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to India next year, and we can't take the van. The thing is, it's only my wife who doesn't mind flying.
All right.
The rest of us hate it. But we're off to India. I've done a license deal with EMI for the album for Asia and all those different countries. Mm-hmm. So we have to go over and promote it. But
it's very unusual, isn't it?
I think over there they're trying to get it. It's a new music. They put us on a compilation album, a blues album, with had Muddy Waters and Bonnie Raitt and Johnny Winter and all people that have been on EMI or parts of it for years, and then a couple of new acts because they kind of want to get it going over there. Mm. I mean, I'd love to go to India.
Yes.
I'd absolutely love to.
It should be a great venue, yeah.
Yeah.
And in terms of, I mean, I suppose just basically it'll be just be very large venues. And
I have no idea. They've got a festival over there that this year they had Robert Cray. So if I could get over and be the opening act on something like
that'd
be
nice,
two acts a night. Mm. Or the thing is, when we signed the deal, part of the deal with EMI for that is that they take care of your concerts over there,
mm-hmm.
which is a good thing, I think. But it'd really be up to them what I come over and do.
Right.
So but I don't, you know, I mean, I don't. The album apparently is selling quite well over there, but I have no idea. I can't imagine going into India and anyone have heard of me, so I don't, I don't know what it's going
to
be like.
You don't expect to be mobbed when you arrive at Mumbai Airport, no. Hey, Danny!
Only if they think I'm someone else.
Well, I mean, the meld, the juxtaposition of Indian and blues music. Harry Manx has done some great work with what he calls it mystic sippy, because it's the Indian plus the blue Indian influence with his Mohan Veena. Yeah. And so, I mean, and it does lend itself extremely well, the Indian sitar music, to a kind of bluesy format. So it's got the same kind of basic structure way down at the bottom, I think.
Yeah. I think a lot of the deep roots in blues, like you're saying, are there, you know.
Mm.
It will be an interesting experience.
It will be, yes.
I know Walter Trout, he went over there a couple of years ago. He said it was absolutely unbelievable.
You're working with Walter, aren't you, later on?
I've worked with him a lot of times. Yes. He was on my Days Like This album.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't actually got anything booked to work with him this year.
All right.
Although it was funny because we played a festival in Germany last week, or the week before, I get my dates mixed up. And it was meant to be somebody else headlining it, and they cancelled. We were one before Top, and this guy was headliner. And Walter was off, so they flew him out last minute. So
right.
So Walter was there. We had a jam and everything. That was great. Great to see him.
Just Walter rather than flew the band as well? No, just...
The whole band. They got him over for one gig and then back again.
That's rather fine.
It was
fine.
A great gig, but we finished, and then when Walter came on, they had a thunderstorm, so they had to stop.
Yeah.
For health and safety reasons. Outdoor gig. And I thought it wasn't going to continue.
I didn't think the Danes did help me.
He was playing great, and he played 20 minutes, but then after half an hour, everyone stayed, and he went back on and finished it.
Right.
But you don't have an open-air festival in June in Germany. You're gonna German weather's like English weather.
Yeah, that's true,
you
yes.
You can't rely on it.
And in terms of later on this year, I mean, you've got, when it gets to the end of the summer, presumably all the festival bit ends, doesn't it, to a certain extent, and you have a kind of winter season then, do
well,
you?
Well, I've got, this weekend I'm off to Scotland, three gigs up there, then I've got, I think it's 11 different festivals in Europe in a row.
Mm-hmm.
When I say in a row, they're not every day, but they're my next 11 gigs.
Yes.
Take us through July and into August, and then... I think the festival's finishing in Cologne now, last one's Cologne. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, we have some club gigs, and then in November we'll do another long tour with Germany and Austria.
Have you had a stab at the States?
No, I was booked there last year, but we had a lot of problems getting over there. We were booked, we had a slot opening with Johnny Winter at a festival there, and then the Zoo Bar in Nebraska, which is a famous one. Then the Prairie Dog Festival in Wisconsin, and the best one was Club Ebony in Mississippi, B.B. King's before. But there was a strange thing, because we weren't doing it through an agent, somebody approached us at a festival, so we got some gigs around it. So if you do it that way, you have to submit to get your permits. I don't quite understand it all. Your passports, not a signed legal copy, but your passports for 6 to 12 weeks. Well, I had so many gigs booked in Europe, I just couldn't give up my passport, so I had to cancel the show. That's I mean, I could have gone and illegally gone through and said, you know,
I'm a tourist.
I'm on holiday, especially with like my wife being there and my mum who's manager and my dad. You know, it wouldn't have looked that suspicious. But if I'd have been found out, they said said that they could stop you going in ever to work there again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm
hoping
worth
the risk. Yeah.
You know, my albums are only out in Asia and Europe. I haven't got an American part of Rounder, and that would totally paid that. You just wouldn't.
Yes.
They wouldn't, if you couldn't go over and promote, they wouldn't be interested.
So. The time will come, you know. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we talked about it last night. I'd love to get over there.
I mean, the blues, from what I can gather, because I get lots of invites to blues festivals in America, and it seems to be kind of strong. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's not totally strong, but there are some very good smaller festivals, really. And so you can make a kind of living.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of American acts that are struggling over there when they come into Europe. I don't think there's a lot of money around there. We had the first gig, the one with Johnny Winter, would have covered our expenses to go there, but I don't think we'd have made any money. It would have just been to test the water. And I mean, you know, I know guys in America that are amazing guitarists, and they play with a lot of big names, and they're playing for like $50 a night.
Yeah.
It's like 30 quid.
You can't make a living out of that now.
No, they have to come to Europe and you know, it's still appreciated here. I think it's just going through a slump. I mean, in truth, you know, from what I keep reading in magazines, and it is true, but we don't play so much England now, but England's going through sort of the same thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, there've been
so
some
many clubs closing.
There've been some clubs closing. Some radio networks have stopped doing blues shows.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like it's in recession in some ways, but at the same time, the number of listeners to this show on the net has gone up 50% in 6 months.
Positive,
you know?
So, yeah.
It could just be people are getting it in a different way.
I think the net helps a lot. You know? But, yeah, I think, yeah, it's just going through a change.
More music. Well, sure, again.
You're testing me with these, you see. Let me think. Let me try this. This is an old blues song, and I haven't played this since we recorded it, which is an electric song as well, but I'll try it. I woke up screaming, I was dreaming you were by my side. I keep believing, now the night is playing tricks upon my mind. I called your name, called your name a thousand times. Darkness falling, night time so long. I hear you calling, but I know you're gone. All I got's this old blues song. Old blues song. I saw you standing at my door. In the dream, I pulled you close. I call your name, but you walk through my walls like a ghost. Tell me, babe, what happened to our love? To our love. Darkness fall, not time so long. I hear you calling, but I know you're gone. All I got's this old blues song. This old blues song. This old blues song.
acoustic version of a track taken from the new album Black and White from Danny Bryant, an old blues song. You mentioned just before there that your dad is the bass player and your mum's your manager. And so it's kind of a family business then, isn't it, really? Was that a planned thing or did it just happen by accident? It
sort of happened. Well, me and dad planned, you know, to have a band. He was playing bass. He used to play acoustic guitar and he was playing bass. So that was planned. But then when we got the band together and got a drummer, we needed someone to get gigs. So my mum had a good telephone voice. So she rang some pubs.
Yes.
I haven't asked her to stop yet, you know.
Right.
So she was manager.
Yeah.
And then when I got married, my wife wanted to come on tour all the time. And she's good with fixing things and things. So she became the guitar technician.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So you've all got
helps with the CD sales and things like that.
So you've all got a role then?
Yep.
Yes. Right, I see.
I do the least, I think.
And does it make it easier or in some ways more difficult having it as a family, if you see what I mean?
I think it's easier, but I think the only downside, which we've got past now, is I think it's hard for a drummer when they come in.
Oh, because that's true, because they're all one family.
Because we try and involve them, I always think that they're paranoid that something's going on in the background. But fortunately, with Trevor, I've known him for a long time, so kind of like family now as well. But I think that might be the only downside.
Yeah, I suppose, do you have to be very disciplined in the sense that normally if you have arguments on the road, once you split up and go your separate ways, but of course that is more difficult, isn't it?
I mean, of course we have arguments, but we're all good in the sense that we just argue and it's done, you know, we don't hold any grudges. We actually get on, it sounds false, but we actually get on incredibly well, you know.
Mm.
I have to stop my dad from getting drunk, but...
He's the one that kind of was at the beginning. Did you play before, Ken? You've been playing for many years, I guess, have you?
Yeah, but before it was always acoustic blues in the evening for my own enjoyment, basically.
Right, I see.
I messed about with a couple of bands years and years ago, but no bits to speak of.
So you weren't professional yourself then? Yeah. Right, okay, yes. And it was, but you saw that in your son, did you? Though?
Oh, yeah, because of years of listening to that sort of music, I recognise the talent.
Yeah.
I used to teach him some chords, and within a month of playing, he was far better than I ever was. So.
I don't know if that says something for me or you. Good job you went on bass there, Dave.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Ken's so off mic, I have more conversation about him, Mike. But in terms of the direction you're going, can you see, what are you going to be doing this time next year, Danny? Any ideas?
It's always we just roll along. This time next year, I'll be getting ready for another album, probably be recorded. You know, I mean, I started this Black and White, it wasn't released till the end of March, but I started it on the 1st of September recording. Mm. And I did pre-production for it in June of last year, so a year ago. So next year I'll record another album, I suppose, in about April. And then more tours. It's good for us at the moment because we're getting a lot of new countries and a lot of bigger audiences and a lot of great festivals, which helps with the audiences so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting to meet a lot of my heroes, which I find the most exciting thing. Because I learned so much. And it's great to meet them all.
Are you very far away from... you mentioned how Walter Trout played on your album, but presumably on the next one, are you the sort of person who likes to call up friends or you guys you've met on the road and call a favour in kind of thing?
I would like to. I'd like to have some harp on the next album. Mm-hmm. So I jam with Paul Lammer in France a little while ago. I'd love to get him on to play some harp on the album.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these... I would love to do an album one day with a lot of these people, you know.
Yeah.
All one album, but a few people have done it. And as I always get kind of criticised, because Walter Trout taught me, you know, I always get the comparison. He's done an album full circle with all these guests, so I can't
do one. I see what you mean, yes.
I'd like to. I'd really, on the next album, I want to put, not for touring, I don't think, but I want to put a great sort of keyboard player on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's
that'll make life difficult though for touring, won't it? If you've got
it can do, but the thing is with touring, you're giving them something visual. They're seeing you play. So in a studio, you've got to build certain things up and put things in to kind of bolster it out. Mm. I'd only put it on a couple of tracks. I mean, I could get carried away. I'd like to put a brass section on something as well. Do like a BB King thing.
Yes.
He's like my biggest hero, BB King.
But it was very different B.B. King when he brought that, when he had on the Crown record label, when he had those big bands behind him. It was almost a show band B.B. King, so different.
Yeah, but I love that. You know?
Yeah.
I think because I'm blues rock, a lot of people think, you know, that I don't know my past blues or I'm not so interested in
yes.
it. But, you know, that's really my obsession.
Mm.
But B.B. King, I'll never get over how much I love him.
Yes. And how much he's stayed the pace and changed and developed and I mean, and again, still sounds really good today as he did.
Yeah, he's 82.
Yeah. I saw him working live last a long time ago in Hong Kong, but he just rocked the socks off me. Great stuff.
Great. Yeah. He all seems to play great over there as well. YouTube clips.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Seen him a couple of times.
You're listening to the Raven and the Blues sessions on REM FM. Our guest this week is Danny Bryant. What should we close with, Danny?
I'll try and do like a Robert Johnson-y type thing. Got a kind-hearted woman, studies evil all the time. Got a kind-hearted woman, studies evil all the time. I would rather kill you, have it resting on my mind. Me and the devil was walking hand in hand. Me and the devil was walking hand in hand. The devil, and I'm just trying to do the best I can. Went down to the crossroads, I fell down on my knees. Down to the crossroads, I fell down on my knees. Ask the Lord above for mercy, and take me if you please. Of different Robert Johnson things.
For the last 60 minutes, you've been listening to the words and the music of Danny Bryant. Dan, thanks for being our guest on the Raven and the Blues.
I enjoyed it. Thanks.